For the servants that we have in this church. Everywhere I look, I see people that are just serving in some way or another. I want to tell you, a percentage-wise in this church, we have more people serving than most churches have. Usually it's about 20% of the people that serve. But in this church, we have a huge percentage of people that are committing their lives to serving in one way or another. Sometimes it may seem like just a small thing. Greeting. You may think, I'm not doing much. My goodness, that's one of the most important ministries that we have. Greeting people as they come in the doors. Letting them know that God loves them, that Jesus is Lord, and that we're happy to have them here. Do you know how many churches you can go into on Sunday morning and no one will even speak to you? We're not going to have that here. Amen? This is a place where Jesus resides. And wherever Jesus is, there is joy, there is contentment, there is the kind of attitude that is welcoming to people. So praise God. If you're a visitor here this morning, we want you to know that we love you and you're welcome. Praise God. If you haven't said hi to some of these visitors, I'm telling you, do it before they leave. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, there was something else I wanted to mention this morning. Oh, I know what it was. Brother Ron Klein has been in touch with Leland, and he said that he's in St. Louis doing God's work, doing what God wants him to do, out on the streets preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is incredible. He's 80? 81 years old. He still felt like God was calling him to go forth and do a work. Amen. That's just praise God. It's incredible. You know, there was a time a few months ago where Ron told me that he felt like God was finished with him. He was ready to go home. It was all over. And then God just, burst a new desire to serve him inside of him. And he just, after that, he was just a different man. He was on fire once again. And he was ready to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. A Moses, 80 years old, ready to go do a work. Amen. All right, well, anyhow, he asked us to pray for him because where he is, there's about 20 shootings a day, and two or three people are normally murdered during that period of time. He needs our prayers. He needs us to lift him up. He believes God is with him, protecting him, and he's going forth. He has no fear. But he's just asked for our prayers because he knows that this is a praying church. He knows that our prayers mean something. When he asks for it, he knows we're not just going to, it'll be taken care of. That we are going to get on our face before God and pray for him. So I just praise God for that. Hallelujah. All right. This morning, we're going to get into the message. I want to share with you this morning, and the title of the message is Crossing the Jordan. And the purpose of this message is that I want it to be an encouraging word for those of you who feel like there's a Jordan right ahead of you that you need to cross over. And I want you to understand that there are spiritual obstacles sometimes that keep us from moving in the direction that God wants us to go. Many times our emotions, sometimes it's our health, sometimes it can be just about anything that the enemy will throw at us to try to keep us, take us off track, get our attention off from what God wants us to do, and keep our attention on what the enemy is doing. And it's very important that we recognize that God, there are different intersections in our life where we have to cross over a new Jordan and move into a new area in our lives. Many times, when we first get saved, it's a matter of hearing what God is saying to us about ministry. What has he called us particularly to do. Sometimes it's about giving up things in our lives to move on to accomplish what God wants us to do. But I believe there are times in our lives, in all our lives, and some of you may be going through that right now. That's why I want to have some prayer time at the end, where you see that the Jordan is right there in front of you. You know you need to cross that thing. Because when you get across it, you're in the promised land. You're where God wants you to be. Now listen, we got to understand something. Moving into the promised land does not mean that you're going to have a comfortable life. Moving into the promised land means that you're going to have to be equipped for warfare. When they crossed the Jordan, the first thing that happened was they had to go conquer Jericho. They had to be ready for battle. They had to be prepared. So I'm not talking about moving from a place of where you're uncomfortable into a place of comfort. I'm probably talking about moving from a place of comfort into a place where you'll be uncomfortable. But that's okay, because God is with you. If you're moving in that direction, you're moving in the steps that God has ordered for you. If you're following His ways. You see, this Bible that we have, this thing that we call the Word of God, I want everybody to understand, I believe this is the holy, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God. And I believe we're supposed to use it to direct our life. If we will, if more people in the United States of America was using this thing to direct their life rather than the success principles that whoever has come up with, we would be so much better off, so much more prosperous, so much more productive in our society. Because this thing teaches us how to live. This is a firm foundation. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get too caught up in trying to do the things that we think the Bible tells us to do rather than doing the things that God is telling us to do. You understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes it's very possible to become too caught up in the religious directions and ordinances and established things in the church that we think are supposed to be done a certain way instead of listening to what God is telling us to do. You know, we can become way too legalistic in our belief system. And it's, you know, that sometimes makes us comfortable, becoming legalistic. Because if a church has some legalistic systems that you can follow, it's much easier to follow that dress code or follow that principle or follow those eating principles and habits and whatever it is, whatever those legalistic things are, the way we're supposed to worship. You know, it can be anything, all kinds of things. It's much easier to do that than it is to hear and discern the voice of God for ourselves. You hear what I'm saying? Am I making sense here this morning? Sure, I hope so, you know. Sometimes I get up here and don't make a whole lot of sense. Hallelujah. It's okay. The good thing is God causes it to go forth and He interprets it to you the way it's supposed to come out. Amen? That's the anointing. You know, following the Bible and following the signposts. Sometimes God has certain things for us to be able to interpret what He desires for us to do. But sometimes we interpret the direction of God in the wrong fashion. And here's what, let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. There was a guy by the name of Gordon Swickey. He was he won top honors in Burlington Liars Club, and they have this every year. And there's 31 states that participate in it. 299 other people participated in this Liars convention that he had. And what they do is they get up and tell stories, of course. They're made-up stories. But here's the one that won. Zwicky claimed that he and his wife, Dorothy, won the lottery and decided to drive to Florida. But their neighbor, they were a little apprehensive about it. They'd never been away from home. So they were, you know, they asked their neighbor what they should do. And the neighbor told them, he said, well, you'll be okay as long as you pay attention to the road signs, because they wanted to travel to Florida. He said, okay, just you'll be okay as long as you follow the road signs. So about 30 miles from home, they saw a sign stating, clean restrooms. They came up on the restrooms. 2 months later, they arrived in Florida. By that time, they had cleaned 450 restrooms using 267 rolls of paper towels, 3 cases of bowl cleaner, and 86 bottles of Windex. That's the lie that won. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Well, literally, he took the sign literally. And sometimes we got to be careful that we're not too literal in our interpretation of what the Bible is telling us. Now, I believe in a literal interpretation. But individually, sometimes we can take a scripture and believe that God is saying to do this, and he may very well be telling you to do something. But timing is important. Timing is always important. Man, I have learned that lesson here as the pastor of Bethel Worship Center. There's been so many times that God has told me, or I felt like God is saying, this is what you should do. This is the direction you should go. But I always get ahead of God. You know, I try to do it before God says, okay, now's the time. I hope I've learned that lesson over the years. I think I have. And I'm trying my very best to wait on the Lord. But sometimes, you know, if you see something that you're supposed to do or something that looks exciting, it's hard to hold back. But we have to listen to the Lord. This morning we're going to look at Joshua chapter 3. If you'll turn there. Look at verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove. In King James, I think it says Chittim, and came to the Jordan. But that's what it means, is an Acacia Grove. And came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Okay, this is a part that, there you see an acacia tree. It has umbrella-like leaves and branches. As you can see, there's lots of shade under it. This was a grove of acacia trees. This is where they camped. There was plenty of water. The Jordan was close by. There was plenty of shade. There was comfort in this place. This was a very comfortable place for them to be. This particular species that we're talking about in the Old Testament is also most likely the same species that was used to build the Ark of the Covenant, because it's a very hard wood. It is almost impervious to insects. It's used for the Ark of the Covenant and other parts of the building of the tabernacle. The acacia tree is an important part of biblical heritage. But the most important thing that I want us to see here this morning is that God brought them to a comfortable place. He brought them to a place where there was shade. He brought them, they had food. God was providing for them. They had water. This was a comfortable place. And he told them to wait. Sometimes we're in a comfortable place in our life. That's a time that we seek God and wait. Just wait. See what he's doing. See what he wants. Enjoy the comfort while you can.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
I'm telling you. Yeah. That's another lesson I've learned as a pastor. Enjoy the comfort while you can. Enjoy the shade. Enjoy the fresh water. Yeah. Enjoy the fellowship. Because you never know. You never know what's coming next. But most important, as you wait on the Lord, trust him. Make sure you trust him. Now, here's the thing about this place. It was a place of comfort. It was a place of shade. It was a place of plenty. It was a place of God providing for them. But there's another thing about this. It could represent also sin in a person's life. Because back in Numbers chapter 25, this same place, the children of Israel came and camped there, and something horrible happened. If you don't know this story, there was a sorcerer by the name of Balaam who was hired by Balak, the Moabite king, to curse the children of Israel. And every time he tried to curse the children of Israel, God would not allow him to curse them. He would speak a blessing over them. Every time he'd speak a blessing. The enemy could not curse the children of Israel. This is a lesson for us. Listen, the enemy cannot curse you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. The enemy doesn't have the authority and the power over you. The enemy cannot and shall not curse the children of God. Sometimes we open doors for the enemy to be able to put curses on us. But listen, I've had people come into this church and they're all tore up because a witch has come in here and tried to put a curse on us and spoke all kinds of things over us. And sorcerers have been casting spells. I'm not afraid of any of that stuff. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The enemy cannot curse me. The enemy cannot curse this church. God is greater than that. Who do you think is greatest, the enemy or your God? My God is great. My God is powerful. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I fear nothing that the enemy can do. Jesus said, "Fear, you should have greater fear of the one that can kill the soul." Amen. It's the Lord that I want to have a holy, reverent fear toward. You know, he's a good God, and I don't want people to shake in their boots over God. You know, oh, he's going to send a lightning bolt and strike. No, he's not. He's a loving, caring Father. But I had a loving, caring Father when I was growing up. And that loving, caring Father knew how to discipline properly. So when I got out of line, he brought me back in line. And if I got too far out of line, I'd wake up next week wondering what happened. Not until I became a teenager, believe me. You know how teenagers can be sometimes. They think they can whip dad. Well, never happened in my house. God is so good. That's the kind of God we serve. He loves you so much that he wants to bring you back in line if you get out of line. He wants to put you in order so that you will walk in the steps that he has ordered for you. That's the kind of God we serve. So as we wait on him, sometimes as we're talking about this situation with Moab and Balaam, the thing that happened was that Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, so they came up with an alternative plan. The Moabites worshiped Baal. And it said that they worshiped Baal Peor. Well, Baal was the god, and he was a god that required very sensual sexual acts. So you can imagine, you know, Don't let your mind go, because you can imagine all kinds of things. But here's the thing. That's what the God required. So what the step they took was they sent the women that worshipped Baal of Peor. Peor is a place in the mountain of Moab. To entice the men to come with them to have inappropriate sex and worship of Baal. So when that happened, now listen, this is really important that we understand. The enemy couldn't curse them. Balaam couldn't curse them. However, when they went And when they moved away from the will of God in their life, they brought the curse on themselves. 24,000 men died because they moved away from God and started worshiping the wrong God. Don't allow the enemy to do that to you. Listen, if you know that, and we're talking about, when we're talking about a sin like this, we're talking about something that you know you're doing wrong. God has spoke to you about it. And he's asking you to get it taken care of. Otherwise, you open the door. Now, people will say to me, well, Pastor, that was the Old Testament. We live under grace. You know, the grace of God. It allows us to be greased up and slide right into heaven. You know, it's greasy. Well, let me show you something. Turn to Corinthians with me. First Corinthians chapter 11. We read this scripture all the time, not the whole thing, but part of it, when we do communion. And basically, Paul is saying Jesus gave us this thing called communion, and we should be practicing it as believers in Christ, recognizing what Jesus did for us on the cross. But then he goes on to say, before you take this, examine yourself. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What he is saying is this unworthy manner, he's talking about a sinful act in your life, a sinful lifestyle, something, it can be an act of disobedience, it can be harboring unforgiveness, it can be some kind of spiritual thing that's going on in your life that you know is wrong and you should not be doing it. Now listen, I don't have a list of things that are right and wrong. There are some things that absolutely I know are wrong. Murder's wrong. We read the Ten Commandments. We know those things are absolutely wrong. But there are other things that sometimes are wrong for you that may not necessarily be wrong for someone else. Now, these are minor things I'm talking about, but God speaks to us individually about something. And if we're doing something in a disobedient act to God, toward God, guess what? That's sin. We don't want to walk that way. We don't want to open up any crazy doors for the enemy to have inroads into our life. Now, I don't want anybody to establish a doctrine here. Pastor Rob says we're sick because we're sinning. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that there are spiritual forces out there that are way beyond anything that we can even imagine. Supernatural entities that live in a totally different dimension than we live in that will attack people when we open doors for them to attack. Amen? Okay, let's see what Paul says here. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. That word, that Greek word there, judgment, it literally means disobedience. It means a decree of judgment. You are decreeing judgment upon yourself. Nobody else has to do it. You see, when you're disobedient, you bring a decree of judgment upon yourself. The enemy can't do it, but we can do it ourselves. That's what the scripture is telling us. For this reason, many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep. And he's not saying that you're taking a nap. Believe me, they have fallen asleep. They're dead. They're sick, they're weak, and they're dying. Because there are things in our lives sometimes that we need to get out. Now, once again, let me make sure everybody understands. Just because you're sick doesn't mean that you're in disobedience to God. Okay? We live in a fallen world. There's sickness and disease in this place. Only you can determine that. Only you know if there's something in your life that may be hindering God from working and healing and delivering you from this situation. But you have to determine that. By the way, I'd like to say this morning, thank you all for praying and fasting for me. My neck is so much better. I appreciate it. Praise the Lord. But see, that's the kind of thing that we have to do. We have to, when we see an attack of the enemy, we have to come together and believe and trust God and pray for one another. We'll see miracles take place. Listen, what Paul is telling us here has so much power in it. For many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. There it is. He says, listen, you got to judge yourself. You got to determine, is there something in your life that shouldn't be there? If there is, get it taken care of. That's all God wants. He just wants you to confess it. Say, Lord, I'm doing this wrong. I confess, and I'm going to repent and move in a new direction. That's all God. It's simple, but the enemy makes it huge, because we don't want to give up those things. We don't want to give up our comfort. We don't want to give up our pet sins. What was that sign that I saw a few years ago? Don't sweat the petty things. No, this was that's it. Something to do with petting. Yeah, don't. Yeah, if you don't pet the sweaty things, you won't have to sweat the petty things. That's what it was. Yeah. Thanks for helping me. So we're not petting those sweaty sins. We don't have to sweat any of the petty stuff. Amen? Okay. So here's what we must understand is that God is moving and He is judging and this is even in the New Testament. The example of that is Ananias and Sapphira, who brought an offering. They sold land. They brought an offering to the apostles and presented it to them. And Peter asked, is this all you got out of it? And they said, yes. They didn't have to lie about it, but they did. They lied and said, this is all. We're giving everything we got out of this. And Peter said, you're lying, not to me, but to the Holy Spirit. And he fell down and died in the presence of the apostles. And the wife came in, and the same thing happened. Because she lied not to people. Listen, that's you can lie to me all day long. Usually it's not that important. But when you start lying to the Holy Spirit, you're in big trouble. And the reality is that when people are trying to hold us accountable for something and we lie, we're lying to the Holy Spirit. How many times has pastors lied to the Holy Spirit because they've done something wrong and they've been approached by, you know, somebody who was trying to hold them accountable? And they weren't lying so much to the person, they were lying to the Holy Spirit. We've seen it over and over and over. God still loves people. Those people can repent and be reinstated if they do the right things. If they go through the right steps. God never rejects anybody. But listen, it's a serious thing to lie to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we got to wait on the Lord. That's the first thing we want to do, is wait on the Lord. Yes. The second thing, go back to Joshua. Verse 2 through 4, chapter 3. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know that the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. God's telling them, keep your eyes on me. The Ark of the Covenant represented God in the earth. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your, recognized. He told them that the ark was going to be out in front of them far enough that they could always see the ark. God is leading and directing us, and if we'll keep our eyes on Him, He'll just stay just far enough in front of us to lead and direct us. It's always close enough that you can touch Him. I'm telling you, He wants that kind of relationship with you. It's always close enough that we can get intimate with our God, but we've got to keep our eyes on Him. Now, verse 15 tells us that it was spring, and during the spring season, there was a flood. The river always had a flood stage. I know when I was a child, before they built all the dams and stuff up and down the river, every year the Ohio River would flood. We just expected it. We lived in Long Bottom, and we lived up on a hill. And down 248, 124, we're not too far from that intersection, but on 248 where we lived, the road always, there was always water on it. My uncle had a boat. That's how we got out when it was flooded. We were prepared. We knew what was going to happen because it was going to happen every year. That's what was happening here at the Jordan. Every year in the spring, there was flood stage. The water was swift. The water was deep. I remember as a child, the Ohio River was very dangerous during flood stage. Some men had boats, and they would go out and catch barrels and items that drifted away from people. And sometimes they would return them, and sometimes they would sell them. You know, just depending on the situation, whether they found the person. But, you know, most people were honest, but they would catch these things because they were coming down. This was a very dangerous time for the Ohio River. This was a very dangerous time for the Jordan River, for the people to be crossing. The spies had just left. And they just came back from spying out Jericho. And they came across. And I'm sure they told them it was difficult coming across the Jordan River because it was in flood stage. They heard those stories. So the people right now, here's what I'm trying to get at. I want you to understand that they had to keep their eyes on the Lord because God had encamped them close enough to the Jordan River that they could see the turmoil. God keeps you close enough in your life of the turmoil all around you that you can see the turmoil. And if you do not be careful, you will get your eyes off from God and on the turmoil, on the swiftness of the water, on the difficulties that it would take, that it could take to cross that Jordan. You see, God was trying to build them up. He was trying to encourage them. But at the same time, He was trying to show them that He was greater than that Jordan River. He was greater than that swift thing that was before them. So they had to keep their eyes on the Lord all the time. You know, one of the things that help us keep our eyes on the Lord is having a desire, a hunger for God. If we stir that desire, reading His Word, praying, searching Him. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways." Your steps are ordered. God delights in the things that you do. But we have to keep our eyes on Him and what He is doing. Recently, most of you know that Tammy and I have a little homestead that we started. A few chickens, 12 chickens that turned into 50. A few rabbits, four rabbits that are now 11 rabbits. It's growing. We have a goat expecting to get another one. I mean, we're enjoying this. We like this stage in our life. We enjoy the animals. It's good. Having a good time with it. But we recently got 7 new rabbits. And these rabbits are about 8 weeks old. And they're not as... The other rabbits that we have are about 8 months old. So they're pretty mature. And I have this pen. It used to be a chicken tractor. Does everybody know what a chicken tractor is? Where you put your chickens in, move it around, place to place. Well, now it's a rabbit tractor. I converted it. And the entrance to it is about probably about 16, 18 inches high. And the first rabbits, they're able to jump up in there with no problem. You know, they just jump in and out anytime they want, come and go. The bottom is you know, I have an open space out in front, and then they can go up underneath this tractor thing. And it's just a good place for the rabbits. Well, these new rabbits are very young, and they've been in pens, confined. They've never had this freedom before. By the way, we're raising them in colony, which means that they're all going to be together, and we're going to have too many rabbits before long. We won't know what to do with them. But they're, you know, it's just a better way of raising the rabbits. Anyhow, these ones are young, and they're unable to jump up and down. So I took the older rabbits and put them up underneath and confined them, and I put food in the food trays, and I opened the door on the place where they stay, and I just waited to see what was happening, what would happen, because they had to learn to come out by themselves. I was getting really tired of taking them out and putting them back in every day. They had to learn. Well, they would come out, they'd stick their nose out, and walk over to the edge, and they'd see that 16, 18-inch drop, and they'd go back in. This went on for a long time, a couple hours. I finally got tired of that, so there was a little ledge on the outside, about like this. So I took them all and put them on that ledge, shut the door. Now they're on this little ledge, and it's between their fear and their hunger. Are they going to be hungry enough to jump down and get that food? Well, probably about an hour later, every one of them had jumped off that ledge and was down eating pellets because their hunger overcame their fear. The only way we're going to cross the Jordan sometimes is to allow our hunger for God to overcome the fear that keeps us from moving God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what our God has given us. We do not have to fear, but I can tell you, as a man who has gone through many times being fearful of a situation, it's not easy to overcome that fear, but the only way to do it is to make sure our hunger for God is greater than the fear that is inside of us or the fear that the enemy tries to bring upon us. Hungering for God is the only thing that will work. All right. So here we are. We've talked about waiting on the Lord. We're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick. Sanctify yourself is the next step. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that because he's telling us that God is going to do incredible things among you. God is saying to the people here at Bethel Worship Center, whether you're a member of Bethel Worship Center or you're just visiting us this morning, you're here because God is saying he's going to do wonderful works in your life. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect or loyal to him. He wants to work on your behalf. He will do that. He wants you to step out and move in faith toward him. The only way this is going to happen is that we prepare ourselves. This word sanctify means set yourself apart. Are you set apart to serve the Lord? Are you prepared for him to use you to do a work for him? That's what he's asking. He's telling the people, get ready. Get ready. I've been saying this, I don't know how long, probably a couple years now. Get ready. Get ready. God is doing something. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Be sanctified, for the Lord is going to do wondrous works. Hallelujah. Leland, I'm glad you and Deb are with me. Where are the rest of you? Are we going to do this thing? Yeah. Amen. God is using you. God wants you to be prepared. Get ready. It's coming. It's time. See, Otis is up here preparing. Amen. You having problems, brother? Okay. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The best way to sanctify yourself, to prepare yourself, is through prayer and fasting. This is an important part. Listen, Linda called the congregation to pray and fast for me. It works. It really does. Most of the time when we pray and fast, I don't tell people how to fast. I just say, fast. Let God tell you how to fast. Now, I'll give some guidelines on fasting, what fasting means and how you should, there's steps that you should take. But many times, God will call people to total food fast for a day or meals, or he'll call you to give up something for a period of time. It's between you and God. There are principles that you have to follow in fasting. But fasting causes us to grow spiritually strong by overcoming our flesh. Y'all, if anybody's fasted, you know what I'm talking about. The body of Christ, we don't understand this discipline any longer in the body of Christ. According to Barna, 7% of Christians all over the United States have ever fasted. And fewer fast on a regular basis. Do you know that Muslims fast a lot more than Christians? At least once a year, almost all of them fast. What's wrong with us? We don't realize the spiritual strength that we can gather from denying our flesh and causing our spirit to rise up. There is power in this. So if we want to sanctify, if we want to set ourselves apart, that's a perfect way to do it. Pray and fast. All right. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're going to get sanctified or set apart. Verse 5 tells us, it leads us into the next point. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua 6 through 17. I'm not going to read all that to you, but the gist of it is God told Joshua to send the priests out with the Ark of the Covenant to go out and stand in the Jordan. Remember, this is not just a normal Jordan River. This is one that has expanded beyond its banks. It's in flood stage. And God says, go out. Leaders, go up. Rise up. Rise up and do something. Listen to what God is telling. Listen, the church overall is not going to do anything until God's men who have been called, his set men, have been called. His men and women. I shouldn't just say men because God calls men and women to rise up in leadership positions to lead and direct the people of God toward the things of God. Amen. He told the priests to go first. It must have been a little bit scary for them to know that they had to walk out there in that water, because he told them not just to walk up to the edge. He said, oh, no, no, no. Getting close is not enough. You have to get in it. So they walked in probably about up to their knees, and they stood there waiting for something to happen. And bam. God showed up because men and women, because the power of God is present when God's people choose to obey the living God. The Jordan parted and they were able to go across the Jordan River. Hallelujah. There was another miracle similar to that when Moses was alive. Remember the Red Sea? They went across and their enemies were all destroyed behind them. He told Moses, and I think he's speaking this to somebody today. He told Moses, he said, don't worry about those Egyptians. This is the last time you're going to see them. Hallelujah. He didn't say it exactly like that. I paraphrased a little bit. But that's what he told him. Not going to have to worry about those guys anymore. God is saying to you this morning, you're not going to have to worry about that situation anymore. I've got it under control. In fact, as soon as you cross the Jordan, it's all going to be behind you. You're moving in to a new promised land. But you have to be ready, because in that promised land, there's going to be battles. Listen, it's all about faith. We saw a scripture this morning about Matthew, and Jesus said, if you have faith, nothing shall be impossible for you. In fact, there's a couple scriptures in Matthew. Three scriptures that I want to point out to you. Situations. Matthew 9, Matthew 9, 6, and Matthew 9, 22. In these situations, every time someone came to Jesus to be healed, needed something for Jesus, he said to them, let me read Matthew 9, 2 to you. This is a situation where a paralyzed man is brought to Jesus, and his friends help him. And Jesus prays for this man. Here's what it says. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, if you're paralyzed and Jesus says your sins are forgiven you, that's not a whole lot of help, is it? You wouldn't be too excited about that. I can't imagine him trying to jump on his bed just because Jesus said your sins are forgiven you. But it's a reality. His sins were forgiven him because Jesus was the one that could forgive sins. And then a few scriptures on down, it says that Jesus said, to show that I'm able to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk. And the man jumped up and left that place, leaving the paralysis behind. Hallelujah. But listen to what he said. Jesus saw their faith. These men tore the top of the roof off and dropped this man down. He saw their faith that he could be healed. In 9:6, Jesus said, or 9:22, I'm sorry. Jesus was approached by a woman. Right? You got to get this picture because this is really craziness. You think about it. The disciples and Jesus are walking in turmoil, a crowd of people. Everybody's wanting to get close to Jesus because they know he's a healer. And many want his touch. They want his virtue. They want his power. So they're all crowding around Jesus. And Jesus is walking along, and suddenly he says to his disciples, somebody touched me. His disciples say, Lord, there's a lot of people touching you. Look, they're all around you. Do you see how crazy that statement seemed to the disciples? Because they were thinking carnally. They were thinking spirit or physically. And Jesus was thinking spiritually. Because when she touched him by faith, and virtue left his body. The power of God left his body. And he said, no, someone touched me. And they received the power of God. And when he talked to this lady, when she admitted that it was her, she had had this issue of blood for 12 years. Nothing happened. She went to doctors. She spent all her money on physicians. Hallelujah. Some of us can attest to that. Jesus said to her, it's your faith that has made you whole. Now, once again, I do not want to condemn people, because many of us have gone through situations in our life where we've walked with sickness or some kind of disease or something that has been very difficult for us for a long period of time. But I cannot discount God's word and the words of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that we surround each other and we pray and we believe and we not stop until we see a breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, our brother Bud needs our prayers more than anything else. He needs us to get on our face before Almighty God every day and claim a victory, a healing for him. And if we stand together, I believe we're going to see a breakthrough. Just like you prayed and fasted for me. It works. Amen. Let's get serious for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's get serious for Bud. Amen. Faith. It's going to take our faith in order to cross over the Jordan and move into a new realm in our life. It will not be an easy time, but it will be a blessed time. Every time they went into battle and they did what God told them to do, there was victory. What I'm telling you is that you're going to see more victory in your life once you cross the Jordan than you've ever seen before. But you've got to cross that Jordan. You've got to get across that thing. As far as Bethel Worship Center, I believe that one of the times that we crossed the Jordan was way back in 2001. We were still on the hill, Silver Ridge. We were getting ready to leave that place, and we changed our name from South Bethel New Testament Church to Bethel Worship Center. Now, that may not seem significant, but it was a significant move. It's really difficult sometimes to convince people that you need a name change, or you need to put new carpet in, or change the color of the walls, whatever. Sometimes, you know, we get stuck in our ways. We think those things are important. Now, let me say this before I go on very far. Some of you who are here today, if the Lord tarries, you may be here in the future when Pastor Rob's not here. When some young buck comes in as the pastor, and God has anointed him to lead and direct this church. And one of the first things he wants to do is change the name of the church. Don't get in his way. Don't try to stop the leading of the Holy Spirit. God has called and anointed a man to lead and direct this church, and you need to follow that man. The name means nothing. Obedience means everything. Well, anyhow, we moved off that hill. And after we changed the name, it was a significant move. But more than that, we left that church behind. And leaving that church was a huge step. It was crossing the Jordan for us. Because we left that church knowing that we would never be able to go back to that building. There was no way we were going back. And we left it going to a place in Tepper's Plains, the old school there, where we knew that we only had a one-year contract to worship in that place. And then after that, we had no idea what we were going to do. We just knew that God was calling us. God was leading us. We moved and we walked away from that place and we crossed that Jordan. And we haven't looked back since. We're now in this new building. But believe me, there's been battles every step of the way. And there's a battle going on right now. There's a battle that the enemy wants to stop what we're doing here at Bethel Worship Center. The enemy wants to keep God's people from rising up. There's a battle going on. The enemy is trying to get you to look at that swollen Jordan instead of keeping your eyes on the Lord. But I can proclaim this today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Today, God is doing a work. God is looking for people just like you who will rise up and say, oh no, devil, you're not going to stop us. I don't care how rushing the water is. I don't care how deep it is. I don't care how crazy it looks. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. Amen. I think that's where we are right now. As believers, as a group, maybe that's where you are individually in your life. The enemy is saying it's time for you to cross over the Jordan once again. You need to get on the other side. You need to be ready. You need to wait. You need to keep your eyes on the Lord. You need to be sanctified. But more than anything, you need to walk by faith. You need to let faith rise up inside of you. You need to stand against the enemy. It's the wiles of the enemy. He's trying to deceive you. But today, God is saying, I am on your side. And if I'm on your side, who can be against you? No one.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to wrap things up. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you feel like you're in a spiritual desert, Tammy felt like before we close this service, we really needed to pray for people who feel like they're in a dry place. Sometimes you're in a dry place, you know. Think about the children of Israel that were getting ready to go across the Jordan. Actually, they had been in a spiritual dry place for a long time. 40 years. 40 years their forefathers and their parents had turned their back on God and didn't go in and take the land at the time when God told them to. So they had to wait 40 years now. And God is saying, now is the time. I believe that's what God is saying to many people in here this morning. You may be in a spiritually dry place, but God is saying, now is the time. Now is the time to turn your heart wholly and completely to the Lord. If you've never done that, now is the time. Now is the time, if God is calling you, to take a step of faith, to move out into that rushing water and see the waters part so that you can move on to the other side. It's a different time. It's a new phase in your life. It's a new journey. You're ready to move in to the promised land. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come up. I want to pray for you. If you just need God, you need more of God. You need to know that God is on your side. Come up here this morning. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God does not want us to be in a dry place. He wants to provide. But I'll tell you, when the children of Israel were going through the desert, they got thirsty. And instead of crying out to God, give us water, they started whining and complaining. We have to guard against that. We have to make sure that we're recognizing who our provider is. We want to cry out to God. God, we're thirsty. We're going through a dry place, but we know that you're our provider. We know that you're there. We know that you want to give us refreshing water that flows from the innermost being of ourselves. It'll flow out of us because the Holy Spirit is in us. These rivers of water, Father God, I just speak that upon each and every person this morning that's standing up here. Your rivers of water will flow through them and out of them, Father God. The spiritual dryness that the enemy would try to cause to them to stay in, Father God, will no longer hinder them. In the name of Jesus, they will be refreshed, refreshing in Jesus' name. Be refreshed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be spiritual refreshing. You will rise up. You will see the rivers of water flowing out. Father God, thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Spiritual revival in our spirit, in our soul, in our home, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Revival, Father God, a spiritual uplifting. Rivers of living water flowing forth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Dryness. Oh. Glory. Don't forsake your secret place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faith. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Stirring in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, for Jill. Lord, just stir her up.
as he continues to seek your face, desire for your provisions, and trust in you. In Jesus' name, stir her spiritually, Lord, as she will rise up and call you her God, and others will call her blessed. In Jesus' name.
Next thing I'm going to do, all the congregation to come up. Just come on up here. Tammy, come over here with me. Everybody, just as much as possible, surround me and Tammy. Hallelujah. This is good. As everybody comes up, appreciate everybody. Now, normally this is what we do. We'd have you lay hands on us. But Jenny? Oh. Oh, it was Tina. Okay. I'm sorry. Couldn't remember who it was. Tina felt like, as an act of, this is my own interpretation, but this is what she said we should do. And that is, me and Tammy stand in the middle. You all turn around facing the other direction. And pray for us. Now, that's not you're turning your backs on us. That means that you are praying and standing and protecting us. This is, you know, that's when men used to go into war and they fought with swords, they'd stand back to back. Because they were protecting each other's back. And that's what God is saying. You're protecting our back. Hallelujah. So please just turn around as we get ready to pray. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Pastor Otis, will you pray, please?
Trying to tell them the things they sacrifice to do God's will has caused them to not have all that their hearts desire. I know my God.
Yes.
I know you, God.
Yes.
And I know you're moving in them in a great way. They haven't even yet touched their reward.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for releasing it.
Father God, I just thank you for your blessing upon all these people here. I know they have our back, Father. And I thank you for your blessings upon each and every one of them. Bless their homes, Father. Bless their business. Bless their work. Bless their efforts. Whatever they put their hands to, Father God. Bless them in whatever they do. Guide and direct them, Father God, that this will be a place where people will know that the people of God go to church here. The people of God, those who are set apart, recognize that Jesus is Lord and Savior. That others will know there is something different about a congregation that serves and walks in the ways of the Lord. Thank you, Father God. I know you have your remnant everywhere. And I just thank you that we are part of it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be dismissed. Thank you.